to have songs like that one right there. When I was growing up, unsaved naturally, lost, but sometime or another I was taken to a church, drugged to church, ever how you want to put it, and in Sunday school or someplace we sang that song. And somehow it was fixed in my mind, I don't know how God did it, but He did it, that every time, regardless of what I was going through, how bad it was, somewhere in the back of my mind was this song that, yes, Jesus loved me. Now as a saved man, born again by the Spirit of God, I understand that the fear of God also brings the love of God. And so being said that we should sing songs like that, even though we think it's for children, or we may think that way on occasion, that this is a lullaby. I mean, there's lullabies that are sung and things like that about Jesus, and we say, did they do anything? And I believe everything that happens to a child has consequence. The love of a child, how they're treated, the words they hear when you talk to them, the TV shows, everything we put in front of a child will be brought to bear later on. Now, I'm not saying that because we sing Jesus loves me, every child gets saved. We know that's not the case, but somewhere in our lives, in a child's life, they have to understand that, yes, there is a God. There is a God who is merciful. For God so loved the world, He poured out His mercy on a bunch of hell-deserving folks. He poured out mercy. If we read Jude, and I'm studying in Jude right now, that's why I sort of get sidetracked here this morning, but if God had never showed mercy, where would we be right now? We would all be in hell. There would be no hope. There would have been no Christ. There would have been no salvation if God had not shown mercy. And that's why we sing to these children that there is a God who has mercy. This morning I'm going to be in John chapter 5. I'm going to start at the end so I can get to the beginning. So I'm going to start at about verse number 39 in John chapter 5. And the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." In them ye think ye have eternal life. "And they are they which testify of me." I wished I could say that if you would read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible, you'd go to heaven. If that'd be the case, I'd have to scratch that verse out. Because he's talking to the Pharisees here. He's talking to the ones that Lucian was talking about, those guys who are righteous in themselves. And he says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." The Scriptures talk of the Savior. The Scriptures say that there's a Savior coming. The Scripture says there's light to come. He says, "Search those Scriptures." You think you know the law. You think you know everything that's going on. You think you're holier than holy. And yet you don't know how to love. And you don't even know the one who came to save you. Oh, you're righteous. Oh, you cross all your I's and T's and do all the right things. You show up at church on Sunday and you read your Bible 4 or 5 times a week. Oh, man, I do tithes and everything else. He says, "They are they which speak of me." And in verse 40 it says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." How sad could it be to know in your head that Jesus Christ came for you, that Jesus Christ died for the lost, died for the undone, that Jesus Christ came from God Himself. To know that. And it says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." To know that there is eternal life in Christ. To know in your head that all that come to Him live eternal. It says, "I have honor for men. I have not honor for men, should I say. But I know you. I know you. That ye have not the love of God in you." Oh, that we would love God because He first loved us. Oh, that we would see that Christ, born in a lowly estate, that Christ lived a sinless, perfect life, walked in front of the religious crowd, showed them just what they were and just what I am and just what you are, and that we could see Him and know, yes, I believe there's a Savior, and still not bow to the Savior. So that's what the lost man is in his lost condition. "Oh yeah, I know you got a God, and I know you got a Jesus, and I believe in Jesus." The devil believes in Jesus. And he fears and trembles. You know why he fears and trembles? Because he's going to go into the lake of fire one day. Because he won't repent. He won't bow down. He won't say, "Yes, Lord, I am it. Or you are it." He would rather walk like the devil the whole time. The devil himself knows who Christ is. And he fears and trembles. If you have any idea this morning who Christ is, you should be fearing and trembling if you have not bowed to His mercy. I, if I had not bowed to His mercy, would be fearing and trembling, because I would know that I'm going to meet Him one day. You see, the saved will meet Him at the judgment seat, the Bema seat. We're all going to stand before Christ one day. The saved and the unsaved, we're all going to stand before Christ one day. But the ones who are unsaved, at the great white throne judgment, where they will stand without a word. He's not going to say, "Get your lawyer, get your representative up here, tell me why you did what you did," because He already knows. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows exactly why I did what I did. He knows exactly why you did what you did. You will be without excuse at the great white throne judgment if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ savingly. Amen. I've been reading an article here a little bit, I ain't finished it yet, about the limited atonement, where some people preach, "Well, the sin that casts you into hell is not believing Jesus Christ." Well, it says in my Bible, you'll die in your sins, plural. Whether you reject Jesus Christ or not, you're going to pay for every single sin you ever did. You're going to pay in hell, if you're a lost person, for every single lustful thought or whatever prideful thought or whatever thought you may have had against God forever and ever and ever. The Bible says, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not." Jesus Christ came in His Father's name. Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. Jesus Christ, holy God, came in the flesh. Amen. Became a man, because a man had to pay for man's sin. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send some other being type thing. He sent God in the form of a man, because it required a man to die for men. Holy God, holy man. He says, "How can you believe?" Well, that's a hard verse to get a hold of, huh? There's some folks that would say, "All you got to do is just decide. How can you believe which receive honor one of another?" In other words, if you're trusting in how good you are, "Oh, they're such great people, they're such kind people, they're just up and up, folks. Surely, if I bought into that theory, I'd have been going to heaven way long time ago. But you know what? I was not going to heaven way long time ago. I wasn't going into heaven till God born me again from above. And I say born me again, you say, no, when you decided. No, when He decided. Now, there was a decision in my heart to change what I do, to bow down to what He's done. But He did the born and again. He's the one that looked at me and says, you're the one I'm here to save today. He's the one that on that very day I saw who I am. I saw what I am. And I saw how undone I was. And I says, Charlie, you've been living, what did he say a while ago, as a hypocrite? Because people say, oh yeah, I can tell you how to get to heaven. All you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Do good, do all the right things. Yep, I can do that. Even a lost man can tell you how to get to heaven. Yep. That doesn't mean they're going there. It says, and how can you believe? How can you believe when you think that you're all puffed up and all as good as you are because of what other men say about you instead of hearing what God has said about you? What does Romans said? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. For all are unrighteous. For all are wicked and undone. The Bible doesn't say, all you good folks. The Bible says we're a bunch of sinners in need of a Savior. How can you believe if you receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Are you going to die in your sins because you'd rather hear what good things you are from somebody else? Or will you humble yourself to what God has said and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, one from another. An honor that cometh from God. God does honor those who come to Him. He gives them eternal life. He gives them a blessing. He sets them on the solid rock. Do you think that I will accuse you? Jesus talking to the Pharisees and those folks are there. To the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. They thought that they obeyed the law. They thought that they had done everything perfect. They thought that they were the cat's meow, so to speak. Man, we are the religious of the religious. He says, I don't have to accuse you. The law, the Lord, the law of Moses, the prophets are going to accuse you. Moses is going to accuse you. Moses is going to say, I came and told you about him. But you would rather have the law. Man, that law will make you miserable. That law, oh, I'm so sweet, I obey God, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't covet. You're a liar. I was a liar. If I looked at that law and says, oh man, I haven't broken any of these. Remember the rich young ruler? I've done all of them. You know he was lying out of his teeth. There's no man that could ever say, I've done everything in the law. Or else God lied and says, everybody's a good law keeper, or somebody could keep. If somebody could keep it, Jesus didn't have to come. Which is it? And we're reading it. 1 John says, if we don't walk in the light as He walks in the light, well, then we make Him a liar. Is that how it goes? If we say we're all right and He's wrong, that's all we do if we say we're good and He's wrong. If we don't believe in what God has said about His Son, that we say, God, you're a liar. That's pretty serious talk. God, I have heard about Jesus. I've heard I need to trust in Jesus. I've heard I need to believe in Jesus. I don't believe you, though. That's what it is when you're lost. God, I don't trust you. I don't believe you. Then it says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. If I could tell you anything right now, it's trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus Christ. He just started this thing out in search the Scriptures. Who's the Scriptures? Moses. Who's the Scriptures? The prophets. Who's the Scriptures? They talk about who? Jesus Christ. Who do you need to trust? The Scriptures? Well, yeah, sort of, kind of. But who you need to trust? Jesus Christ. The Scriptures talk about Him. He is life. He's eternal. He's the Savior. The book just leads you that way. If you just take the book and read the book, you're still going to go to hell.
Right. Amen.
The book's great. I love the book. I study it all the time. But me studying the book is not why I'm going to heaven. It's because somewhere along the line, God says, you need a Savior, and it ain't the book. You need Jesus Christ. He says, that's right. For had ye believed Moses, undoubtedly you got the book and you don't believe. If you really believe what Moses had to say, you'd come to Christ. He says, for ye, if ye had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Undoubtedly, if you can read this whole Bible and say, yeah, that's all good stuff. I like it. It's nice. It's, man, that's how we ought to treat each other. If you can believe the Bible, then you should be able to believe Jesus Christ. He says, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Moses didn't write a book about Moses. I know he wrote the first five books of the Pentateuch and all that stuff, but he didn't write that, oh, how great Moses is. In fact, Moses was meek and mild and humble, and he said, look unto Christ. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your salvation. If you'd have believed what Moses said, what did he tell the guy, the rich man in hell? You have Moses and the prophets. If one came to you from the dead, you would not believe him, because you won't believe Moses and the prophets. If there was anything I could tell you today, is this book tells the truth. This book talks of a Savior. This book talks of Jesus Christ who died for his people's sins. If you would believe that, that shows evidence you're one of his people. It says, but if you believe not his writings, whose writings? Moses. How shall you believe my words? In other words, I am the light of the world. I am the creator of everything. I am the one who spoke it and it is. I am the one who sent my spirit to tell Moses what to write. What Paul wrote, the Spirit told him to write. What John wrote, the Spirit told him. John in one place, well, Lord, let's call down lightning from the sky. We're just burning those folks up. Does that sound like a guy who loves somebody? And yet he's called the apostle of love. In one place he's saying, Jesus, let's just call down some thunder and fire down from heaven on these folks. They don't want to walk with us and talk. And Jesus says, easy, John. Whoa, John. It'll be okay, John. So if we go back to the first of this program in chapter 5, it says, after these there was a feast of the Jews. I don't know how I went that way the first time. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folks. Not just one guy there, but there was a lot of guys there, a lot of folks there, men and women. He says, and they were blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. There was a pool there where undoubtedly they believed and had this time where an angel would come down and stir up the water, and somehow or other the first person who could step into that water would be healed. That's a physical healing. That's a touch me healing. He says, and there was many folks there. They were piled up around this thing. And if you were crippled or unable to get up, the blind guy who could walk good could beat you there. Or the guy who didn't have no hearing could beat you there. Of course, the blind guy had to have somebody tell him that the water's being stirred up, or he wouldn't know to go. But the thing is, there was a pool there.
For an angel came down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the waters stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. Whatsoever disease. And it's great if all the people that we're praying about would be healed. But if they get healed without Jesus Christ, they will die in their sins. Now they may have a healthier, happier life, but it would be better to be sick and have Jesus than be healed and be without. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. That means there's hope for you old folks, if you hadn't believed. There's hope for you young folks, if you hadn't believed. There's hope for all folks if you haven't believed. But this man was sick for 38 years. After being sick for 38 years, you might just say, what's the use? I mean, I spent half of my life sick with an infirmity of not being able to walk and move and do anything. What use would it do me to get in, to try to get to the pool? I have been sick, seems like, forever. He said he was sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie. In other words, he was unable to even get up. He just was brought there every day and he lay there every day. What an existence. To just lay somewhere hoping that the water would be stirred up. Knowing that he couldn't outrun nobody to it. That's almost like hopeless, ain't it? You see that there's water there. You know it's going to get stirred up. And if you get in it, you can be healed. But yet, I can't even get up. Unable to move, unable to do for himself. And the impotent man, and Jesus said, and Jesus saw him lie there, and when he had been with him a long time in this cause, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt you be healed from your infirmity? Wouldn't you like to be okay? And the impotent man answered him, and this is sincere, sir, I have no man. There's nobody to help me. There's nobody to carry me. There's no one to make this thing able. Your salvation is the same way. There is no man who can get you to the pool. There is no man who can tote you. There's no man who can say magic words over you. This man says, sir, I have no man. When the water's troubled, and how many times do you reckon he saw the water get troubled as long as he was able to understand what's going on? He's probably been laying there at this pool for many, many years. I don't know if it was a full 38, but he's been laying there at least from the time he understood what was going on there. Every day he comes to the pool for healing, and every day he sees someone else. It is so hopeless. When the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, trying to work, trying to struggle, trying to do it himself, while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Always somebody ahead of him. Jesus said to him, get it now. He didn't say, let me tote you into the water. Let me help you to the pool. The angel's going to be here shortly. No, Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Healed. Just like that. Jesus saves. Just like that. Whomsoever he will, he quickeneth. Whosoever he will, he maketh alive. Whomsoever he will, come unto the water freely. Take up thy bed and walk. The man didn't say, well, let me lay here a couple of more hours and see what's going on. No. No. And when you're truly saved, you don't lay around there wallowing in your sins and say, let me see if it's going to work. You understand there's something you must do. We were just talking in Sunday school. walk like Christ. Walk worthy of Christ. Take up thy bed and walk. Don't just lay there where you were. Don't just stay in your sin. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately. How quick is immediately? Immediately. That's pretty quick. The man was made whole. He didn't say, well, I'm getting a little tingling in my left toe. Oh, now I'm getting a little more in my right toe. Immediately, the work of God was done. He was made whole. That means from his toes to the top of his head, he felt good. He was made whole. And he took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Boy, here we go. You just got to stir those Pharisees up. Same day, this man's all happy and he's picking up his bed and walking. He's giving God glory. He's proud that he's able to move. And he runs into a bunch of Pharisees. Oh, man. That's what's going to happen when you get saved. Some Pharisee's going to run into you and say, really? You want to believe that Jesus just saved you just like that? You got to keep these rules. You got to keep these regulations. And you got to go do this. You got to go do that. You got to go talk to the preacher. That's what the Pharisees would tell you. And it was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured. Cured means you ain't sick no more. Cured. It is the Sabbath day. Hello, do you realize that you just got cured on the Sabbath day? What was you thinking, right? Why would you want to let somebody touch you or heal you or do anything to you on the Sabbath? Why don't you just lay there and stay quiet? Don't you know this is the Sabbath day? And it is not what? Lawful for thee to carry thy bed. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody makes me alive, raises me from the dead. They tell me to carry my bed. I say, how many of you want me to tote? I mean, I don't care what day it is. I just got saved. I just got healed. I don't care what those people think. I don't care what the people on the curb think. I don't care what the Pharisees think. I got my bed and I'm going to carry it because he said, pick up your bed and walk. We so worry about what other folks say. And he answered him, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. He didn't even ask him his name. He's just laying there, and this man walks up to him and says, would you get healed? He says, well, you know, I can't walk, and you know, I can't crawl. And Jesus says, get up and walk. The man was so happy about being saved, he didn't even ask who saved him. He didn't even ask who healed him. In fact, we're going to get to the saving part here in a minute, but he didn't even ask what happened. He just says, I can feel my feet. I can feel my legs. I have strength to praise God and to walk around. If he says, carry my bed, if that's what it takes, I'm going to carry my bed. I don't care what you think. Then asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? I'm going to tell you which one it was. It's the one that healed me. It's the one that cured me. It's the one that fixed me from 38 years of infirmity. It's the one who brought me up. He says, who is it? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being up. There was a pile of folks there that day. And after Jesus healed him, after Jesus made him walk, Jesus went on about his business. He just went on, I got other things to do. I ain't got to hang around. I'm not hanging around here to get a party started. I've done what I came to do. When he comes to save you, when he comes to get you, he's going to get you. He's not going to be worried about everybody over here and over there. Just like when he goes to the lady at the well, I must needs go to Samaria. There's somebody at Samaria I need to go talk to. Now, we know that there was a whole bunch of folks there, but he went there that day particularly for her. Amen. There was a day he came particularly for me. He says, then asked, and what is, take up thy bed and walk? And the man that was healed wist not
For it was Jesus conveyed himself away, and the multitude being in the place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple. It's amazing. This man didn't go to the juke joint to party. He went to the temple to praise God, to give God glory. Look, I was infirm for 38 years. Most folks say, well, I'm going to go do everything I've never been able to do before. I can walk, I can talk, I can do. But this man, when he was healed by Jesus, he didn't go out to see what the world was all about. He went to the temple. He went to where God's house was. And Jesus findeth him in the temple, says to him, behold, thou art made whole. Talking about you are made whole. Sin no more. And the Bible in Romans says, shall we sin that grace should abound? And the Bible says, God forbid. So he's sitting here, sin no more. So do you think this man lived a perfect sinless life after that? No. But he did know that there's a God up there, and my life ought to reflect what has happened to me. And so I don't need to go off and get caught up in any kind of gross sins or anything like that. Jesus says, go and sin no more. Does that mean he was where he was because he sinned? It didn't say that. In fact, it didn't say the blind man had sinned to get where he was at. Jesus just said, go and sin no more. And I've lost my place. And afterwards he found him in the temple and said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. What would be worse than being saved? Bringing dishonor and disgrace to God's name after he had done something for you. Not that he would kick you out, but the fact is, to just go out and vagrantly or on purpose sin and walk in ungodliness after God has saved you would be a worse thing that could come upon you. Then he says, then the man departed. That means he walked out of the temple. And he told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. I got to tell you, the day that Jesus saved me, the day that Jesus opened my eyes to who and what I am, I could not keep it to myself. He didn't say he went out and got him a prayer book and he just read prayers and that was it. He went out and told the Jews who had healed him, who had fixed him, who had saved him. If you see you get born again, you got to tell somebody. You got to. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession made. Didn't say, oh, I went and said this magic prayer and then God saved me and blah, blah. No, it says when you've been saved, you're going to confess it with your mouth. You may not do it like everybody else does it, but you're going to have to tell somebody what God has done for you. He says, and he departed out of the Jews, Jesus hath made me whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. What did we say about the Pharisees a while ago? They just had no light. They had no love for their neighbor. This man has broke this law. And not necessarily God's law, but their law. Their law that we don't do that on the Sabbath day. We don't do these things here. We're too religious and righteous. We can't be healing and doing love on the Sabbath. God told us to love one another. They missed it. They missed it. And I'd say, don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's better for you to love and be late for church. Now, don't put your horse in a ditch on purpose. If you don't want to be here, just say so. But if you're on the way here, intending to be here, you got something you need to do here, and there's some reason you have to stop and show love. We're not so legal here that we're going to beat you up because you stopped and showed somebody love. Did good instead of evil. And the men had departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them. Seems like he didn't get too far away did he get to answer them. And Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh, hitherto I work." Now you say here, in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that was created on 6 days. On the seventh day, God rested. Does that mean that everything just flew apart? No. God still loved these folks on the Sabbath day. God still fed them on the Sabbath day. God still clothed them on the Sabbath day. God still took care of them on the Sabbath day. God had never said, we're going to be so legal that on Sabbath day you can't do nothing but stand still and go, blah, 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 I love Jesus. But we are supposed to go around loving one another. To love one another means that we can't be legal in our love. We have to be genuine. Genuine. And Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh, hereto I work." Jesus didn't say, "Oh, what's this? Oh man, I forgot. Today's the Sabbath day. I should have been in the temple, right?" "My Father worketh, therefore I worketh." It is good to be a witness on the Sabbath. And I'm going to say it's good to be a witness on Sunday. It's good to be loving on Sunday. It's good to be caring on Sunday. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he was loving and kind and gentle? No, because their law was being torn all to pieces. Their religious value was being torn down by love. They sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal to God. Some people say, Jesus never said that God was his Father. Well, right there sort of says, and he told them, not in so many words, he says, God is my Father. My Father worketh, here therefore I worketh. My Father is God Almighty. I am his Son. Pharisees, hello! If you ain't got this, Moses talked about me, the prophets talked about me. Here I am in front of you. You have light, but you refuse to step in. My question is, do you have light? Do you see Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you humbled yourself to who He is? Don't worry about what these men think or women think. Don't worry about it's the Sabbath day. Don't worry about that you ain't got some rule where you can pick it up. Don't worry about what the people down the street think about. If God has healed you, if God has saved you, if God has pick up your bed and walk, then let somebody know about it. We'll be glad to shout and sing with you. It says here, therefore they sought the more to kill him. And so does the lost man. Who wants anybody to rule over him, right? The lost man says, I'll not have him to rule over me. I'll not have him to lead me. I'll not have him to be my Savior and guide and healer. I'd rather do this myself. If the man had done it by himself, he'd still be laying by the pool. I have no man. You have no man. Trust in God. He says, because he had made himself equal to God, then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, All those who were placed in Christ Jesus were placed in Christ Jesus by God the Father.
Amen.
The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. The Father does love. The Father does mercy. The Father is good. What He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, when you say you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And if you think you know the Father, then you must know Jesus. For the Father loveth the Son. If you do not love Jesus Christ, you cannot say you love the Father. There's no love in you if you do not love Jesus Christ. He says, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth all things to Him that Himself doeth, that He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. It's a marvelous thing to see God save somebody. It's a marvelous thing when someone comes up and says, God saved me. God healed me. God changed me. I am now born again. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's all working. But I'm going to tell you what I was a while ago, I ain't that no more. I don't know what I'm going to be, but I'll tell you what I ain't. I ain't what I used to be. For as the Father raises up the dead, and quickeneth them, even the Father raises the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son does what? Who? He will. If you've been born again, if you've been changed by the power of God, oh, that you would let somebody know. We'd be glad to give God glory and honor for all those things. We'd be glad to say praise God for those things. Don't stay by the pool. Don't sit there and worry about there's no man to do this. Because there is a man, Christ Jesus, who quickeneth whom He will. Now, I know there are folks saying, well, He died for everybody. Well, if He did, He's losing the battle because everybody ain't coming. But if He died for you, you know it. If He died for you, He'll quicken you. And if He has quickened you, then let us know. Brother Keith.